This is normally the time where most Northerners have left, but we still have a couple right here. You know, their wings are kind of getting strong back again, so they're getting ready to migrate up north. I want you to come, Larry and Don. Come on. Come on up. You know, you're not leaving. We're sending you. Not getting rid of you. We're sending you. Yeah, yeah. This couple has been with us for several months now. They've been a blessing to us. They're showing their faithfulness and dedication to the house. And they're going to leave sometime this week. I think Thursday, right?
Right.
So.
Don't want to.
I know. It's getting hot down here. So I understand. We understand. So I went to pray for them. You have something else? No. I'm going to pray for them so that they would have a great time up and that they'd be able to come back this fall. So, Father, we thank you for Larry and Don. And, Father, we thank you for their heart towards you, their desire to grow and be everything you call them to be. Father, we thank you that they decided to join this fellowship. And, Lord, we're the better for it. And, Father, we pray that as they travel up north, Father, that you would take care of them. You lead them, you guide them, you strengthen them. You join them together even stronger, Father, as they grow, knowing and caring for each other. Father, may they fall in love even with you and with each other. And Father, that they would commit their lives to doing all those things that you put in their hearts. And that they do it with excellence, with fervor, and Father, with love. And Lord, may you confirm, Father, their ministry through signs, wonders, and words of encouragement for those around them, that they may be light and salt to those around them. And Father, may they have a safe trip, may they get there in safety, and Father, may they rejoice as they join family members and friends up there, Father. Care for them. Watch for their bodies, their souls, and their spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And all that for all of you. It's just been amazing to be a part of this church.
We decided to put that in there for you to take. We'll make another one for us. So she made a poem for us, and so you know, we wanted her to hang it up wherever they are so that they remember that they were inspired by your spirit.
You all inspired this.
So blessings. Blessings. Thank you. Okay, well, my wife started talking about a Proverbs 31 woman, and you know what, I brought my wrong. My wrong papers. That's okay. I know a lot of you have heard of Proverbs 31 woman, and some of you even hate her because she's so perfect. I don't want to hear another Proverbs 31 woman. Well, I don't know if you have noticed. Probably you haven't noticed because you haven't looked at that in such a long time because you hated it the first time you saw that there was one woman that was more perfect than you. But actually, there are two women spoken of in Proverbs 31. And we're going to look at a different woman in there. So I'm going to project here Proverbs 31. Starting with verse 1, he says, "The words of King Lemuel, whoever he was, the utterance which his mother taught him." So there is a king called Lemuel, and we don't know exactly who he is, and many people don't, and I couldn't find out who he was, but Proverbs 31 speaks about him. But then he speaks about his mom. If he is a king, she was probably the previous queen. So you know, this is a mother that has lived in royalty, but obviously has a heart for the Lord and for her son. And so she's bringing some words of instruction, correction, and inspiration to her son, the one that he loves. And I know this is a message for moms, but really it applies to any one of us who has others that we mentor. And we can use the encouragement here to mentor those and to inspire those that we have mentorees. So she starts saying, "What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows?" She's basically saying, "I'm pouring out my heart to you. I love you. I ask God for you. I bore you. And this is what I have in my heart to tell you." And so she's got some instruction to tell him. And I can't believe I didn't bring my right notes. But it happens. So she's getting ready to pour her heart toward her son, the son of her love, the son that she cares so much about, the son that she wants to prosper and to be everything God intended for him to be. And so in verse 3 says, the first instruction, "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." So the first thing she says, don't be chasing after women. If you do that with the wrong motive, the wrong heart, they will destroy you. You know, kings were well known for having a harem of wives and concubines. And you saw how it all went. David had a wife, and yet she looked at a outside relationship in adulterous way and ruined his own reputation and had to pay dearly for that. And then his son Solomon went even a worse route than David did, and he had a bunch of wives and concubines, and they pulled his heart the wrong way, and he was destroyed as a king. He went into a wrong path and was really destroyed. So this mom is wanting her son not to go that route, to stay faithful to the Lord and to the wife of his youth. And so she's pouring it her heart. Don't go the way that destroys kings. She knew. Then in verse 4 and 5, she brings another instruction. "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted." She's saying, stay away from alcohol. Of course, there was not Jack Daniels at that time. Mostly strong wine and very strong wine. Yeah. And so she's telling him, you go the route of drinking. And I know that kings have got a lot of issues, and some kings used to just try to drown their issues with a lot of intoxicating drink, and it was just as destructive as chasing after all kinds of women. It would bring destruction. And the same advice goes to all of us today. Stay away from chasing after the different gender, after sensual pleasures and stay out of drinking alcohol in excess. In fact, she continues on. Alcohol in the Bible. So I don't have my notes, so I have to let the PowerPoint guide me. Alcohol in the Bible is spoken of as a source of joy. If you look up, which I did, but I didn't write it down because there were a few of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26, it talks about a merry heart and enjoying the good wine. In Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15, it talks also about wine refreshing the soul. And in Isaiah 25, 6 and 55, 1. So, you know, God has given us liberty to enjoy the fruit of the vine. And obviously, everything in moderation and treating that very careful. Some of us are very oblivious to effects of a little alcohol. Other of us drink a zip and we're already a different person. So we're all different and we all have to be very careful. I think a little joy in the heart is fine. When you change personality, that's not fine. That's excess. So alcohol in the Bible can be a source of joy, but it can also be misused. And you can read scriptures in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, chapter 23, verse 20 and 21, and 29, verse 29 through 35. Very strong against the drunkard and those that are drunk all the time and drinking in excess. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, verse 22, Ephesians 5:18, 1 Corinthians 6:10, and then in Galatians chapter 5, talks about the works of the flesh, and it talks about drunkenness and excess. So, you know, alcohol in itself is not sin. It's how we go about using it. It's what can be sinful. And so the mom is telling the king, stay away from abuse of that. You know, it's okay to drink it with food and take it, you know, in special events that a king is always in. But you don't have to overdo it. And one of the things she warns is, where'd he go? He says, lest you drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. You know, if a king gets drunk and he starts decreeing some laws, those laws are going to stay in the books and they may not be wise laws. So she's saying, be sober when you make laws, because you are there for the good of the people. And if you get drunk and foolish, people may use you for a wrong motive. And then she says in verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. She's basically telling him, you know, there are some people that need some encouragement, that need some joy and refreshing in their lives. She's sort of being sarcastic. She's going a little extreme here, but I guess the point is, you watch out for those that need and don't lose your sense of duty and your clarity of mind. Don't stay drinking when you are in charge of doing things that are important for everyone. There are some people that need some encouraging, the afflicted, the ill. They need to forget some of their problems so that they can have a reprieve. But not you, my son. And that's what she's telling him. And then she gets to a little positive note here. In verse 8, she says to him, her son, the king, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy." So she's basically telling her, you know, don't stay in that palace where you live. You remember that you are there to serve your people. And watch out for them, the speechless, the hurting, the poor, the needy. Those are the ones that you need to be watching out for. You can't neglect them if you want to be a good king. Speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute, and judge fairly and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's what she's telling them. A mom who fears the Lord teaches her kids to use their strength to serve people in need. It is a sin to take advantage of other people, to exploit them. So using your resources to hurt others and fulfill your own needs is wrong. You know, I know, well, I assume that none of you have children that are going to be kings or queens, at least as we know that realm anyway. But they may become lawyers, teachers, politicians, professors, graduates with scholarships to go wherever they choose. They'll probably make more money than you ever did. And so they may be in powerful positions, and they need your wisdom. They need your guidance. They need your heart. So you need to instill within them righteous thoughts and judgments so that when they are in those positions of power, they remember your words and they say, "I'm going to do what is right and proper. I'm not going to let selfishness take over here." You know, we are a very self-centered generation. And if we let the kids be taught by the system, by our society, they become so self-centered, you know. So we have to instill within them very early good values. And for that, you yourself have to have good values. And we'll help you at the end here. That's what Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9 call moms and those other influential people to do. You know, I can hear moms saying to their sons or daughters, "You reach out to that boy over there that everyone else is picking on." You know, there are many of those that they're bullied, they're made fun of, they're laughed at, they're pushed down. And sometimes out of peer pressure, our own kids do the same. Or maybe they were the ones that started it. And so moms and dads and influential people know what your kid is involved so you can guide him or her properly. Mom would say, "You reach out that girl who is ridiculed because she's out of style, because she doesn't wear the right clothes, because she doesn't walk properly, because she doesn't have the latest technology cell phone, or doesn't have the social skills that everyone else does. Reach out to them." I know how hard it is not to be in a place and find that you don't sort of fit. You feel lonely. You feel outcast. We got to teach our kids and children to reach out to those that don't have it all together and befriend them and help them. And for that, we need to be strong children ourselves with strong parents. The greatest king who ever lived has a kingdom that is all about meeting the needs of the destitute, the widow, the fatherless, the marginalized, and the poor. I'm referring to King Jesus, of course. And at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he stood up in a place of worship in his hometown, and he read some words from Isaiah the prophet, which he applied to himself. Luke 4:18 and 19 record these words from Jesus, which I paraphrase so that it fit in one page. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That was his message to a crowd in a synagogue. And when he was done, everybody was looking at him, not knowing whether he was going to continue reading or he was going to hit him with a sermon. And he started saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And if you look at the content of his sermon, is he was anointed to reach the underdog. And we are Christ-like. If we have Jesus in our heart, we're called to be. So this is our standard as well, to reach out the lowly, the deprived, the destitute, the widow, the orphan. Jesus was the King of Kings. And this is the type of king that King Lemuel's mother wanted him to become. Jesus instructed in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, he instructed his disciple, "When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind." And then James summarizes it all in James 1:27. He says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." It doesn't say there at all about achieving a PhD or excelling in a magazine front cover or many other things that we consider successful. And so this is what the mother is telling the son. Be like Jesus. Good mothers teach these things to their kids. It is hard today when we are so selfish and bent on using our own strength just to satisfy ourselves. And this is why we need the anointing of the Lord in our lives, especially moms. You know, couple of Sundays ago, we put out a few challenges to you as a congregation. Pastor Rachel said, "Watch what words come out of your mouth." You remember? And then I added a few others. Obviously, I had to outdo my wife. I first said, "Repent and ask forgiveness to God for allowing yourself to be spiritually stuck and didn't even cry for help." So repentance was the call. And then I challenge you to pray and read the word for an hour every day. I know Yesenia sort of sent a follow-up text, and he said, "1 hour each." And I thought, people are going to say, "No way," and they're not even going to try 1 hour. But if you can pray and read, listen, if you can't do it for 1 hour, do it for a half. But stay consistent every day. And then I challenge you to connect with spiritually mature saints and drop those relationships that are toxic for you. So to finish, I have a prayer of declaration to help you during your daily prayer time. I think it's in there in the printer and in the table in there. I have taken some scripture. I looked up several good scriptures, prayers, and confessions of faith out of the Word, and I put it into a page, and I changed the wording so that you are speaking those promises before God to yourself. And so, to help you with the challenge of praying for 1 hour every day, I'm giving you here about 10 minutes of a prayer that you can do both pray, declare, and use scripture. And so it does several things when you do this on a daily basis. Well, first of all, you have one thing, purpose that you do in your prayer, so you're just not bouncing like a crazy person looking for the right scripture. You start with that. But even before starting with reading that prayer, that declaration, you ought to thank God for everything that you have and everything that God has blessed you with. I think come before his blessing, his presence with thanksgiving, and that should be always our order of prayer when we come before the Lord. So after you thank the Lord for everything he's done for you, then you start declaring this word. And you will be declaring some of the things Christ has done for you and has made you to be. But you also will be declaring the promises that he promised when you are obedient to his word and to his commands. And also, as you declare these scriptures upon yourself, you will be renewing your minds with the word, because they're embedded in that prayer. So moms, you cannot give what you don't have yourselves. And God wants you to be a strong woman of faith, full of the Holy Spirit and his word, empowered and gifted to be a mom that nurtures, that guides, that strengthens those that he has given you to be a mother to. And not only for mothers, but all of us have people that we influence. And so we all need this type of prayers and declarations so that they become part of who we are. And so I conclude by a prayer. Father, I just thank you for all the moms and all the supportive dads and all the people that have taken seriously your call to be ambassadors for you. Yeah. I thank you, Lord, that many moms have been faithful in teaching and instructing their children to walk in the precepts that you have given them. Lord, that they instruct the children, they nurture them, they love them, they take so well care of them, and they instruct them, Father. Lord, that doesn't mean necessarily that they will follow through, but they will have no excuse to say, I wasn't taught. Lord, help us to continue not only teaching by word, but by demonstrating by example, Lord, that we believe your word, that it brings life, abundant life here on earth, and Father, it secures us a place in eternity with you. I bless every mom and every influential person that ministered to those that they ministered to. Lord, that they do it with wisdom, with excellence. And Father, I pray for the moms that are somehow downhearted, depressed, afflicted today. I pray you encourage them, you strengthen their bodies, you renew their minds. And Father, you put joy and peace in their hearts, that they may be able to enjoy the rest of this day and be honored like you intended for them to be honored. I bless all the moms in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.